Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
We are without Matthew for this intro. He's off creating bigger families, but...
plural?
I don't know.
What are you up to, Crosby?
What are you up to, Crosby? You dirty dog! But he was present for this house meeting recording. In fact, he kicked us off in an absolutely shocking style, as you will hear soon. It's one of the... it's got a bit of a false start, this one. But, you know, sometimes you have an idea, you've got to chuck it at the wall and see if it sticks, don't you?
That's absolutely right, yeah. We've all done it.
We've all done it. Today it was Crosby's turn. So, yes, let's get into this house meeting. Before we do, it's worth saying, if you enjoy the podcast but you're not a member of the Patreon yet, get on board, guys.
You might as well get on board for like 1 month and just give it a go, man.
Give it a go. Basically, if you go for the £4 tier, then you get an absolute boatload, over 100 hours of extra content, because we put out a bonus episode a week. And, you know, we used to put out a lot more during the lockdown itself, and that's all available to you. And it's, you know, it's a whole world of podcasting that goes along with what we stick out on the main feed. There's a lovely community. People can email in. Yeah. Yes, Clarky?
And well, I was going to say as well, guys, I don't think we do this enough. Big thank you to all the patrons we do have, because you guys are just absolute legends. You really helped us out.
You know what, Clarky? That is absolutely the right sentiment. And for those of you that aren't patrons, you know, if you want a bit of thanks off Clarky, and who doesn't, that's going to feel good, you know? When that thanks is aimed at you, oh, suit of laws. Yes, get on board, join the Patreon, go to, I don't know, Google Patreon, Pappy's Flat Share, you'll find it. right? Surely.
Yeah, surely.
But otherwise, enjoy today's house meeting, and we'll see you on the other side.
I've had a thought.
I've got an issue.
I've got a question I want to ask you.
I want to talk.
I want to chat.
Okay, let's sit down and chew the fat.
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What temperature should we set the heat?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Why on earth am I always weeping?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Who wet my bed while I was sleeping?
Let's have a house meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What's the point? Does life have a meaning?
House meeting.
I wanted to talk about something that I've just occurred to me the other day.
Please do.
So, the notion of being thirsty is absolutely all over the place, isn't it? Like, it doesn't
you're
feel...
You're talking about the modern... Right?
Is there, like, an old notion of being thirsty?
Yeah, when you really want water.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Oh,
I'm not talking about laying thirst traps. Is that what you're talking about?
That's what I thought you were talking about.
What? Yeah, listen, you know me.
Because I love
water. But I don't tend to post photos of myself in underwear on Instagram. If I can avoid it. Sometimes I can't. sorry, Tom.
Well, no, I'm with Ben, because it feels like the first way is kind of a bit of an open and shut beefcase.
Seems to me.
All right, go on. Talk me through it.
Well, you're...
I'm thirsty. I want some water.
Yes, yeah.
Thirst is quenched.
Yes.
Problem solved.
Here's the thing, though. It feels different every time, right? Because they say when you feel thirsty, you're already dehydrated, right?
What?
They say if you feel thirsty, it means that something has gone wrong. Your body is saying,
your body's telling you giving me water already. You have to intake water.
Your body's telling you have to intake water. Also, as well, thirst can feel like hunger. So a lot of people, when they're eating too much, they often don't realise the reason they're eating is because the thirst that they're feeling feels like hunger. I feel like hunger is so cut and dry. I think if we were talking about hunger here, we'd be like, yes, absolutely, 100%. You feel hungry, you eat something, you're no longer hungry. Thirst is a is
but
too
you
tricky.
You might be thirsty. Okay. You're saying.
You're starting to win me over on this.
You're hungry. You're hungry. You eat something. You're no longer hungry, but you might be thirsty. Right? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah. It can. It. Like, I think hunger is very clear, but sometimes thirst feels like hunger. It feels like all kinds of different things. It can feel like a headache. It can feel like tiredness. All of it is the same thing.
So.
Fuck this, there's nothing in it, don't worry. I thought this would spark something, but it seems like there's absolutely zero. Don't worry, right. Okay. Edit point, there we go. We'll start something new.
Mine is equally at risk of being a dead end.
Well, I'm a yes and kind of guy, let's see what happens.
I have absolutely no concept of what is going on with a battery.
With a battery?
Like, with a battery. Like, batteries, and I'm sure it's something that comes from being a parent. You're suddenly a lot more interacting with batteries than you. I think, like, you have a big interaction with batteries at the start of your life.
Yeah.
Then you kind of have a bit of time away from them, and then they come back into it with aplomb.
Yeah.
You get to an age where you're like, you're all about electricity, and you're like, actually, batteries aren't that important to you anymore. But early teens.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, they're like part of the currency of life, batteries.
Well, I tell you what, actually, especially for us, because, you know, kids nowadays, if they're listening to music walking around the place, they've got a phone that's plugged in, right? That's a phone that they've plugged in to charge. Yeah, it's got a battery in it, but they've plugged it in to charge it. Whereas we would be in a situation where we'd be walking around with our Discman or our Walkman and the batteries would run out and that would be it.
We were slaves.
Well, you say that. What you'd actually do is you'd start gradually thinking, are these tracks getting deeper? Are they getting slower? Is my battery going?
Or is this weed starting to work, man?
Can you remember that, though? Listening to it and you're like, oh, my batteries are going. But you still carry on for like...
You ride them into the turf.
Yeah. But as like crowded house increasingly becomes more and more low.
I mean, it's tough enough listening to Crowded House without their songs lasting 8.5 minutes, isn't it?
Half speed.
Oh my god. Nobody wants Neil Finn when he's
everywhere you go.
I think that's Crash Test Dummies you're thinking of there. Oh my god, imagine what it was like when I was listening to God Shuffle His Feet and the batteries on my Walkman would start to slow down.
What's this girl?
Tom Waits. It turns out Tom Waits, Crash Test Dummy, they're all just recording on low batteries. That's
Tom Waits changes his batteries.
Tom Waits, there is a guy who sounds thirsty. I'm not going to lie to you. There is a guy who I hear those records, I think, Tom, either
give
my batteries are running down, or you need a little bit of thirst-quenching H2O.
Well, you just, like, I think, like, you start talking to millennials now about batteries. There's going to come a time where it's going to blow people's fucking minds.
They're not
going
to know what you're on about.
But now, currently, father of a small child, batteries are suddenly really back in demand, and I'm not quite equipped for it. I've been rooting around the bottom of my toolbox for odds and sods.
Are you sure you're the father of a small child and not a robot? Have you got a robot button? Is that what you're saying?
She keeps getting really tired. She keeps slowing down.
Is it a small bunny who plays the drums? Is that what you've got? Because I can tell you now, that's going to save you a lot of money on nappies. But yeah, you're absolutely right. You're always thinking about where are their batteries.
I think that's going to go up, though. I think we're stepping more into a battery world.
Batteries are coming back.
Batteries are back, baby. They're going to be different types. They're going to be. But
talk
I think
us
like
through it.
Solar or like solar power and electricity. I think batteries are going to be increasingly.
Hang on. Do you think solar panels? You actually flip them over and actually they're just battery operated. That's the real
Hold
scam.
On.
Hold on. Those windmills. You have to stick a fucking boatload of double A's in there.
It's not the double A's. It's the big old chunky ones. You know,
it's the chunky square fuckers.
It's the big old chunky ones you used to stick in your ghetto blaster. It's those ones. Do you remember when do you remember when you'd get a ghetto blaster and, by the way, Is the phrase ghetto blaster?
I was about to say, should we not be saying ghetto blaster? I don't think we ever said ghetto blaster. I think we went with like
boombox?
Stereo or hi-fi.
No,
stereo, hi-fi, portable stereo, we went with.
A portable stereo.
We were really square.
I think stereo and hi-fi. Well, I think of the thing in the living room with your record player on top and two speakers on either side. But I think a boombox or a ghetto blaster is what we would call it. But they took so many batteries. But yeah, I don't think the phrase, the difference between the south and the south, it sounds awful.
Yeah. Especially when you're growing up in Bromley.
I know.
Hitting the streets of Bromley with my ghetto blaster, man. It's like...
You're one of the most sort of like affluent and suburban boroughs of Bromley. There are no ghettos in Bromley. I mean, that's bad. It is bad, yeah. But anyway, all I'm saying is, they took a lot of batteries, didn't they? Bloody hell!
Eight, nine, ten batteries?
Nowadays, oh my God!
Nowadays, you'd have solar panels on top of them.
You know what, though? Could that...
Why haven't we seen that?
Are we in a situation whereby you could be powering your phone through your hat? That has to be the future, right?
Well, they do have portable chargers that are solar powered, but generally,
but then why are they not part of your body? Why are they not your epaulets? Why aren't your shoulder pads?
You need a large space.
No. Because look, I know the whole roof of the house powers the whole house, right? But if you think about it, if you've got one phone that just needs to be a little bit topped up, it doesn't need loads of charge. If you wore a mortarboard, man, that's a bit ostentatious.
yeah. No. I see it. But you know what I mean?
Something that's got a good bit of top surface area on it.
Yeah. Or like you know, a hat. Yeah. One of those hats with like the propellers on the top for wind energy.
Yes.
Or like an end of the world is nigh sandwich board. Front end of the world is nigh, back solar powered. I'm helping the world.
The end of the world is nigh sign lights up. Yeah, it's powering itself. It's paying for itself. Because obviously part of the reason the end of the world is nigh is because people are using so much energy. Exactly. So if you're using solar energy, you are part of the solution.
There you go.
The sandwich board, I've always thought, seems like quite a tricky one to walk in. You can't do any real mileage with a sandwich board on.
With my knees. Like, as soon as you pick up pace, surely
you're
just...
With my knees!
I'm with you on that, Clarky. With your knees.
It's why I never chose to wear one.
It's a young man's game, the sandwich board advertising.
Also, I remember when I was younger, they were always in films. You'd always see someone in a sandwich board in a film.
And the end of the world is near.
It took a while, but it was worth it.
It was good.
It was worth it.
I enjoyed it tremendously.
Yeah, you're right. At the start of a movie, you'd see people walking around with a sandwich board.
Hang on, are we just talking about Die Hard? Are we just talking about Die Hard 3 here?
Well, there's Die Hard, there's Superman. Every disaster film would have a shot of someone with an end of the world, isn't it?
Absolutely, very true.
As the world is drawing to a close.
It's the Hollywood equivalent of the vicar drinking whiskey and rubbing his eyes, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the big budget equivalent of that. The loony saying the end of the world is nigh.
Yeah, it really is. It's, but I wonder if the, because basically the equivalent we've got is the Gulf sale sign, right? That's like the kind of, it's the sort of modern equivalent of where you'd see the Gulf sale sign. And now...
I've got a question about that though, right?
Yeah, go on.
Which ties in with something else I was going to ask about.
They're standing out there for ages. How thirsty do they get? That's what you're going to ask, right?
Looks like thirsty work.
The answer is, they don't even know.
They don't know, man.
I'm just going to have a quick drink of water.
How thirsty are you?
Oh, well, I was. Half an hour ago, I was.
You just don't know.
Now my skin's peeling off my face.
Those baseball hats with, like, a little propeller on the top.
Oh, yeah.
What? Like, Were they like dunce hats to show that you're stupid? Was it like stupid people wear them? Or was it just a bit of fun? It felt like a very American thing that like was somehow in like modern culture.
What was the purpose of the propeller? Because the dunce hat, the traditional dunce hat, is the sort of pointed, almost like paper stick, wizard's hat like, with a D painted on it.
But then
and that feels like an English version.
Yeah, that's it,
the English dunce hat. But it's like, I don't know, it feels like, wasn't it always used to depict someone who wasn't very smart, like wearing a baseball hat with a propeller on it?
Someone who was just like super wacky.
Yeah, so it's I like, think that's how I would imagine it. Like either a tiny little kid or a grown-up who's wacky. I think that's how I'd imagine it, rather than it being somebody who was stupid. But
it feels like a very American, it was like American culture, wasn't it? Yeah. It didn't feel like it was a British thing.
But it's also, it's a hat where, and I know this is true almost of all hats, but it's a hat where you're not getting any of the enjoyment out of it. It's for everybody else.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's everyone else is seeing the whirligig on top.
That propeller's not working enough to lift you off the ground in any way.
No, exactly. Yeah. Which is what you'd want
and
it to do.
It's not creating a breeze either.
It's not. So creating
in a similar way,
straight up.
In a similar way, I would say the sandwich board, certainly like when you think about sandwich boards in movies and things, is that more American and are we more placardy in Britain?
Yes.
This and is. Similarly, carrying on with that vein, golf sale feels like an Americanism that's come over to the UK and is on our streets somehow, but that we've never actually really engaged with it.
Well, the thing they do in America now, like, because they always have to make it cooler, and the thing they do in America is the guy sort of doing break dancing whilst flipping the sign around. Have you seen that guy?
Yeah.
That's like, it's like they practice being a cool sign guy, and off you go.
Whereas the guy in Oxford Circus now has two bits of laminated paper with the words golf sale on it that he wears on his baseball cap, and he stands there and texts. So it's just two bits of laminated paper that he's sort of stapled together and they're stuck to his baseball cap, and he stands there with his hat basically saying golf sale.
To be fair to him though, he is texting everyone in his phone to tell them about the golf sale. That's he's telemarketing,
that's the way,
really.
That's, you know what, viral marketing, that's how you do it, man.
He's maintaining a
social
website.
Media. Yeah.
He's sending out emails.
You've got
he's
to.
Texting.
That's how it has to be these days.
There is a furious kind of social media campaign that he's maintaining about the golf sale.
Yeah. That's how people actually see your product, you know?
Isn't it? It is weird. It is weird. Like that golf sale thing, the golf sale sign. It feels like it's come over from... It does feel like it's come over from America. It also feels like it is exclusively for the game of golf. Like, you never see someone talking about, like, a badminton sale.
Yeah.
Or, like,
football
any
sale.
Other sport. So it's like...
And also, with golf, it's like a really weird sport to have chosen because, golf seems like quite an exclusive sport that not that many people play. And so those kind of people would go, I don't know, to like a posh place to buy.
No, because I think because it's an expensive sport, people are always looking for a bargain, aren't they? And you know, it's not like it's niche. There are golf clubs all over the place. You know, golf courses.
And predominantly not in the middle of a city. It's very rare you're in the middle of a city thinking about golf.
Yeah,
so these
unless
people
it's one
going
of those,
on golf sale.
Unless it's one of those rooftop driving ranges. But even then, I can only think of two of those.
It'd be like having like a sign that says like yacht gear available around the corner. You'd be like, I'm not thinking about yachting at the moment, mate. When I'm out on a country drive and I pass a shop that says, you know, yacht gear half price, I'm thinking, hello, Helly Hansen. But like, I'm not when you're, you know, bustling around Birmingham or something, you know. It just feels like a weird place to be thinking about.
But is it a
golf
bit like, is it a bit like
sailing?
Having a place on the high street that sells you holidays?
Golf sailing.
It's not a bad idea.
Hang on. We just invented the world's most expensive game.
It's yachting, but you're firing golf balls off the... I mean, that seems unfair. It's going to go in a porpoise's blowhole, isn't it?
You need 18...
Well, if you get a hole in one, yeah, sure.
That's the porpoise of the game, Matthew. So, like, you have, like, 18 yachts... And you're in a little one. You have 18 yachts. They've each got a hole on them. You're in a little...
They're all going to sink then, aren't they?
You're in a little boat and you're hitting an inflatable ball until you get it into the yacht.
It's not a bad idea.
It's not
a bad idea at all.
It could kind of be a battleships at the same time.
It could be. It could be quite standard.
Grenades. You're using grenades.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It feels like the kind of game they'd be playing on, like, Series 5 of Succession or something. It'd be like, we're going to play yacht golf today. And everyone would be like, oh, no, Jesus Christ, not the fucking yacht golf. Hey, you fucking shit at yacht golf. Hey, why don't you stick yacht golf up your ass? Ah, silence a lot of you. Whoever wins at yacht golf gets the company.
Yeah, what is this?
Maybe we're playing for the company. Maybe we're not. Let's find out. Oh, I suppose I'm going to have to play yacht golf. Hey, have you got any clubs I can borrow? Oh, God, he's never played yacht golf in his life. It could happen.
Oh, I mean, just a wonderful full stop to that bit.
I just want to ask, how long did you last in the Succession writers' room, by the way?
They said it can't happen and I was left to my own devices. They weren't a fan of my new catchphrase. It could happen.
It could happen.
Tom, we keep telling you it can't happen. Now leave.
But think about it this way. It could happen.
You just got to believe, guys.
House meeting.
What's the worst thing you've considered eating?
House meeting.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Yacht golf feels more like something you would do. I don't know, it wouldn't be really be, or golf sail, would be more like something you do on a stag do. You know, it feels like the sort of thing that, you know, you're all wearing life jackets. Some of you are going to fall in. You're trying
to
get into it.
Yeah. Baller Lake or something like that. Yeah, you know.
Trying
you
to get into smaller yeah. boats. That would be, which it's not a bad idea, is it?
You can play catamaran five-a-side or yacht golf or like scuba squash. You've got three choices.
Has anyone ever done?
Pedalo ping pong.
Has anyone ever made a full-size crazy golf pitch? That would be fun, wouldn't it?
So what? When you're trying to get it through,
Clarkie,
when you're trying to get it through,
this is it.
This is the idea, right?
This is your big idea.
No, Tom, you forgot your catchphrase.
Oh, Clarkie, it could happen.
Yes.
This is the best idea. This is the best idea we have ever discussed on this podcast.
Yes.
To the point where we should probably stop. Like most of these ideas, we air and we flog them to see what happens. I think we should keep Stum on this immediately. This could be our retirement package.
Okay. In which case, I've got a few more things I want to say about being thirsty.
Oh, don't worry. There'll be vending machines all the way around the course, trust me.
But yeah, it is a good idea, isn't it? So like
real size
windmills, whatever the theme is, you know, like if you're actually trying to play golf through a giant pirate ship wreck, you know, or it's like, you know, the dinosaurs are the size a dinosaur would be.
And I mean, also the real size windmills is how we power it.
Yes. It's all everybody's got
a real size windmill on their hat.
Look underneath. And they're battery operated, I'm afraid to say. You get like really good players to play it.
Yeah. I mean, that would be so much fun to do a pay and play round of golf in a full size. Oh.
The only thing I would say is crazy golf. I always think the concept of crazy golf far outweighs the actual experience of crazy golf by like the third hole.
I'm here to say, Tom, you're crazy. Because I love crazy. I love crazy golf. Last time I went to crazy golf, me and my friend found it a bit overpriced. We ended up going to town around three times.
Oh, what you just did? Well, you could, couldn't you? Because it's only the last hole is normally down a drain pipe that leads back to the office and takes the ball away, isn't it?
Yeah.
Also, so it's just it don't play near, the last hole.
It was near a driving range. There were lots of driving range balls hanging round.
Why not? There's always a couple floating in the water nearby.
That's 54 holes of crazy golf.
Yeah, boy.
That's too many. That's too many, man.
If Tom's getting bored on the third hole, imagine if you were playing with Tom that day.
That's like my idea of hell. Hell is an eternal crazy golf course.
It's great. I love it.
Yeah, I like crazy golf as well. Although I'll tell you what, I once went
aesthetic
on my own to the one over by Elmer's End, the Dragon Golf.
Crazy golf.
Oh yeah, that was the one.
Was that the one? Yeah, love it. I played it and it took, I'd say, 6.5 minutes. when you're on your own, it takes no time at all.
But even with two of us, it's a short one. It's not, basically, it's not that crazy.
No.
Yeah,
it's like sometimes there's really good ones and sometimes you're like, this is just, you're going to get it in this one. It's not a straight line.
Yeah, there's a bit of a bump. You can either go around the bump or over the bump, but it might go a bit fast going over the bump.
It's called Dragon Golf. There is no dragons.
There's a dragon as you're driving in. Oh, and actually, there's one...
Dragon parking, they should call it.
dragon car park plus golf. plus
should we go to Dragon car park plus golf, please?
It was just too... The only thing was, it's just too many words to fit on the sign. The one bit is that there's not even a dragon, but there is like a cave where there's dragons growling.
Yeah.
And if you play that on your own on a wet day when there's no one else on it, it's really scary. I was absolutely shitting myself. I played that hole so fast. I genuinely I think I did it in about three, but the last one was just, let's call it three. And I'm out of there. Because I was, there's something quite scary about.
This is another good idea. Like spooky crazy golf, like crazy golf.
Psycho golf.
You have to do like psycho golf, and it's like you it's have to do maze. The 18 holes, but you're being chased by someone with a like chainsaw or some shit.
Yeah, and things like things jump out. Yeah, man.
Hand comes up out the hole.
The carry hole. Yeah.
You're going to get the ball, and it's like, whoa.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
The caddy hole, maybe we should go. There's something in that as well, isn't there?
There is.
Yeah, basically, designing crazy golf courses would be a great
making
job.
Making them better. Because I think
that's like, the idea, that was my idea when I said design them. I didn't mean make them worse. Shall we take away the little bit where it's like, should we make everyone a straight line? It's a meter long and everyone's a straight line.
When you were discussing it, I think that's part of the problem with crazy golf is like there's normally three crazy holes and then there's like this one bends off to the left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, this one's got a circle at the bottom. Like. That's what like the vast majority of crazy golf courses are like. Yeah. And then there'll be like one or two feature holes.
Yeah.
And like that's kind of my problem with crazy golf.
I went to one not that long ago where it has a pirate ship that you have to put onto the pirate ship on one hole, and then put off it on the next.
Oh, that's
that
good.
Was good stuff.
Where was that? Right.
I can't remember. It was in the middle of nowhere. We were just kind of, we'd had a weekend.
You were stranded
away
on a desert island. You and your man Friday. You found an extra ball.
We were pretty thirsty, I'll tell you that much.
Oh my God, I bet.
Were you?
Nothing were more you thirsty than being stranded on a desert island. You could have been hungry. You could have been hungry.
But lots of salt water, so we were fine.
Absolutely fine. Yeah, I went to one in New Zealand that was in a junkyard, and everything was made out of like scrap metal, and so like that was really fantastic.
Yeah,
that was really, really good. And also, you know, you're on your holes. But if you're going to like a seaside one, those for me are the worst ones, where they've managed to try and cram like about 9 holes, but like 9 holes of crazy golf into about 4 square meters. You're like,
the only thing that's crazy about it is the intention. When they said, we're going to put a golf course on this roundabout, that's fucking crazy, man. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. We're crazy.
The only thing that's crazy is we've paid £6 each for this.
Yeah. And on a hot day, you're normally queuing behind like fucking 8 families.
Yeah.
You know, and like, let's be honest, there's rules are very fluid on the crazy golf course. Like, some people are moving it away from a wall if it's touching a wall. Some people, that's, you know, like
you've got to mark yourself a point for that if you're moving it away from a wall.
Oh, hold on. Like, no, most will actually have on the card, they should have rules, and normally it states the head of a club. You can move it ahead of the club.
Well, you have to name the head of the club. You take your crazy golf really seriously, don't you?
Yeah, you have to go to the head of the
you're
club.
You're the head of the golf club.
It's against the...
against the captain's the over there.
Against the wall, your majesty.
The captain of the golf club, he's got his own parking space next to the dragon. You can go and find him.
Oh, no, he's not next to the dragon. He is the dragon.
Yeah. Good. And he will tell two truths and one lie.
Who dare awaken the head of the club?
Oh, it's by a wall. Fair enough. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a free drop.
Oh, I'd love a 3 drop. I'm absolutely parched.
Are you, though? Are you?
Oh, who knows? Who knows?
Who knows? You'll never know.
Who knows if you are?
There's also like escape, like, is there a way of combining escape rooms with crazy golf as well? So it's like there's like riddles and shit to get through to, you know, I think like actually taking crazy golf into an area that's not been gone before.
Yeah.
Is there, like a kind of key thing with that, like it would be cool, for example, if you have like an option of 3 doors to try and putt through and only one of them will actually kind of like a cat flap open. And the question and the answers kind of correspond. But if you've gone first, everyone else has a very good chance. But maybe that's it. Maybe you just take it in turns to go first on a hole.
But what about, like, yeah, I suppose that's it, isn't it? Because if it's a group of you doing it, you only really need one person. And what about if you're all trying to get, what if it's the balls that are hidden all around the room and you've got to unlock little things to get, you know, each ball disappears after you've played the hole, but you've got to, you know, work
so
out new
codes.
So it's
crystal maze, but with the balls.
Exactly, yeah. Oh. So in each locker or under each panel or whatever is the number of balls to play your round.
That's, and there's a guy with a chainsaw in the room with you.
Yeah. I told you about that escape room I saw where there was the guy on the chain. Like, so it was a guy with a chainsaw on a chain, and every sort of 5 minutes, the chain gets a bit longer. So it's getting closer and closer to you, and you've got
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. I mean, what a
God, that guy's earning his fucking crust.
What a gig as well, yeah.
that is a shit gig, is. Mate.
So how long till my break? Well, you've got 45-minute lengths of time into your break where you can finally get to your lunchbox.
You finally reach the vending machine. I'm absolutely thirsty, man. Come on.
Getting home, finally. Like,
I was just reaching to my front door. Absolutely thirsty is a really disappointing phrase there, isn't it? I should have... I am absolutely thirsty.
I am absolutely spitting spit. Quite dry, flecky spit because of how thirsty I am.
Just to come back to what was ultimately, I think, going to take us into a dead end. My point about batteries is, I am not sure.
Listen, we've had 2 death row pardons on this podcast so far. One, I threw myself on my own sword. Two, it just drifted away.
We got away from it quite nicely.
Exactly, like the lethal injection, painless, just drifted away. No one noticed. Yeah, go on, battery boy. What's going on?
What happens with a battery? I haven't got a fucking clue.
Oh, it's literally the question we didn't.
I've not got a fucking clue.
I mean, it's full of acid.
You're carrying it around.
It's full of acid, and that acid becomes charged. If it
leaks, it goes into crystals, doesn't it? Like if battery acid leaks inside your Walkman, you know, if you find an old Walkman that's still got the batteries in, it'll have this sort of weird, like salt crystal kind of stuff all over the batteries. Presumably, that's the magic.
I mean, that's the magic power. That's what I was going to say. I mean, it does feel just like magic, doesn't it?
There's some magic, yeah. It's absolutely dazzling, actually, what they do. It's pretty fucking dazzling, batteries.
Do you remember when they brought out batteries that you could press the side and tell how charged they were?
Oh, yes. This is what I'm talking about. That was when we were, I reckon, about 13, 14. It was like what fucking game changer.
The problem with that was...
rechargeable batteries?
Getting yourself a good pair of rechargeable batteries.
Your birthday present sorted.
It was a real
I'll take it.
It was like a battery pack, rechargeable batteries, and I'd always have them on the go, but you never know, man. Just be like, I'd charge them 3 or 4 times a week.
I've got that now, but for the lawnmower. I've got the battery pack for the lawnmower, just always, that's what it. So that's what it's become. That's where my, you know, I'm not charging up my Discman, hopping on my skateboard and going down Bromley Mall. I'm just thinking, grass is growing fast at the moment.
This is part of the madness of batteries, isn't it? Because you're not supposed
to charge them
all
the way. We should
say that
you do own and run a crazy golf course, don't you, Matthew? So that lawnmower is used a lot.
Yeah, it's mad that I'm mowing it, really, because most of the ground is sort of felt. So I don't know why.
You're crazy, man.
I'm crazy. I'm mowing felt. I'm absolutely thirsty.
I'm mowing felt over
I'm
here,
mowing
man.
Felt.
Oh, got
a pint of water. I'm absolutely mowing felt.
Oh no, no, it's got to be water. It can't be coffee. It will just dehydrate me. There, what mowing felt?
Sorry, Ben, I interrupted you.
No, I think it was for the best.
No, because we've all had a go, Clarky. Old Thirsty Crosby, batteries Barry. Clarky, what have you got for, what do you bring to the table?
What would your dead end topic have been, basically, if you'd asked to start the podcast?
My dead end topic would have been, you can't, like, so, because Megan's a little hard of hearing. I have to repeat things quite often, and repeating something loudly, I don't think you can ever do without sounding annoyed.
You're going to have a pop at the deaf community.
I don't think you can repeat something loudly and not sound annoyed.
Yeah. Well, that's our show, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. We're all off for a drink.
You've been listening to Three Dead Ends, the podcast by Pappies, every week.
We're off to all go and drink a pint of battery acid, as requested by anyone who's listened to this episode.
House meeting is having subtitles on a foreign film cheating.
House meeting.
There we go. All the hot topics covered.
It was a hot episode, actually. Lots of fun.
Ironically, I got thirsty just listening to it.
There you go.
Well, at least I think I was thirsty. I don't know. Maybe I was hungry. You never know.
It's all over the shop. Do you know what, though? I will say I have thought about that quite a bit since you brought it up.
I've thought about nothing else.
Because the thing is, and I hate to dip back into it, but honestly, if you feel thirsty, it's like too late. That's like scrambling my brain. That doesn't seem right to me.
Well, you see, maybe he had a point. He had something to talk about.
It didn't lead to any more chat. So
basically, if your body's sending you messages saying I'm thirsty, it's because it's dehydrated and you shouldn't be dehydrated. So the idea is to stay hydrated so you never get thirsty.
He's right. It is all over the shop. But you wake up thirsty and stuff like that because you just
that's because you're dehydrated.
But that sounds so serious.
Today's episode was produced by Emma Corsham.
Corsham team.
Cheers, really, everyone.
I'll bring it up on the next one.
Thirsty.
Darkness falls across the land. The midnight hour is close at hand. Creatures crawl in search of blood to terrorize the neighborhood. Watch roll call. Someone climbs out of the coffin. But then a fart, they do a maker. The fart, it smells so fiendishly. It belongs to Robin Baker.
Someone creeps across your garden. You look out of the window. You pay the price. Because in your garden is the dirty creeper, Joseph Grice.
And though you fight to not throw up, your head feels kind of spinny. Because you have just smelt the crack of the corpse of Andy John McKinney. Don't do that.
Oh, never smelled the crack.
Out comes the Kraken. And oh, you accidentally smelt all eight of its cracks.
It's, how did it smell?
Oh, it smells so Kraken. Bad. It smells. Kraken. Kraken. It smells so bad. It's made your eyes go all puffy.
Oh dear, why did you do it, Gillian Duffy?
I have caught a terrible cold.
Oh, no, I'm sorry to hear
from
that.
Whom I cannot say. It's a creepy, spooky, ghostly cold that I caught from Neil Ray.
Oh.
Achoo.
Down swoops the vampire and drinks until he's had his fill, son. Then he swoops away. Oh, damn you, John Wilson.
The zombie's gone to the buffet table. He's choosing between chicken or pork. But no, instead I'm going to eat your head, says the zombie, David Rourke.
Out comes Frankenstein. Oh no, that's the name of the doctor, not the name of the monster. What follery! Oh. What an absolute mistake you just made, Jollery.
This werewolf is buggering me! And you know what?
Oh dear!
It's well, it's true. You must be able to see. But you know what? We're having a jolly old time. And the werewolf's name's Charlie T.
Well, oh dear. I was going to put on my copy of Teen Wolf, but after that, I'll never see it again. Sheesh, man. Oh, that doesn't rhyme.
Oh, no.
Oh, the rhyme is the spooky thing. Doesn't rhyme. What the hell were you thinking, Simon Gershman?
The ghost of a pig has jumped over a gate. And now he's feeling quite cold. Oh, I'll wrap Ghost Pig in a blanket and say, have you ever heard of Rory Old?
A ghost sheep has jumped over a fence, and it sent me right to sleep. But then I was woken up by the sound of a zombie bear.
Yes, there we go. It's going to say. I thought so.
You thought so, did you?
Yes.
You always see a zombie bear coming, don't you?
I thought we might need an extra line.
Yes.
He's not, surely he's not.
Hoping he's not going back to go sheep, for goodness sake. But no, the zombie bear. And riding on its back is Island's Ear.
Now we fight to stay alive, but there's one more thing to say. Don't kill me, you awful cunt! It's the ghost of Nathan Mears! Though you fight to stay alive, your body says it all. For that's the end of this spooky Patreon Neighborhood Watch roll call.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.